making a welcome return to a Monday. MLS Monday is back, looking at everything that's been going on in Major League Soccer and the divisions beneath in America this weekend. Joined as always for this by Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome.
Hey, Andy. Always good to be back on a Monday and ready to talk about some Major League Soccer.
We've got to start as well with something that pleases me greatly, because my team, Seattle, have soundly beaten West Coast rivals LA Galaxy.
Yeah, that's right. Big win for Seattle over the weekend, and goals from Clint Dempsey and Jordan Morris, last year's Rookie of the Year. And we also saw an Ashley Cole sighting in Los Angeles, as he had an own goal for LA Galaxy. And, you know, Seattle ran rampant against the Galaxy over the weekend, on Sunday evening, that is. And, you know, we can talk a lot about Seattle, you know, playing really well at the moment, but I think more importantly we should talk about LA playing so poorly at the moment. And just 6 points from a possible 21 right now for the Galaxy, and everything going wrong for them. And, you know, we've talked about it before. This is a really important year for the Galaxy, as next season we'll see LAFC join the league. And, you know, if they want to retain fans or even make new ones in that LA market, it's really important for them to pick things up as we go towards the summer in Major League Soccer. And this is a team who's made the playoffs for 8 of the last MLS seasons. And right now, if they keep this up, they're going to have trouble making the 9th season in the MLS playoffs.
I mean, this is what we've already mentioned, is of all the years for LA Galaxy to have a bad time, this, on a commercial level, on a just general interest level, this is the worst time. Because what I can see for the new LA side coming in, they look strong, they know who their audience is, they know who they're playing for, they know who they want. It's not as though they're coming in all kind of wishy-washy, not sure, you know, testing out how the league goes. They've got a plan, and if you're Galaxy, you, by this point, to use a very English phrase, must be bricking it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you look at LAFC's website right now and you look at the investors who have put their money into the LAFC team, you've got some pretty big names, from entrepreneurs and, you know, people in the world of sports, from Magic Johnson to comedian Will Ferrell. And, you know, it's a really bad time, as you say, for LA, for the LA Galaxy. And over the offseason, they did lose manager Bruce Arena, who had been such an architect for that franchise since the arrival of David Beckham back in 2007, 2008, around that time. And unfortunately, they do have a coach at the helm right now in Kurt Arnolfo, who's not had the best MLS career. He's never had a winning season. He's only posted a 38% win percentage rate. And you know, despite being trained and learning under some of the best in such as Bruce Arena, I think, you know, it was such a bad move by the club and a move that they really weren't sure where to go next. So LA Galaxy really hurting right now. And, you know, I really question whether they'll be able to make the playoffs this season.
Of course, Arnolfo follows the likes of Ruud Gullit, who wasn't overly successful. Bruce Arena and the like as head coach of Galaxy. It will be interesting to see how long he can hang on in that job. Just moving through, and FC Dallas, Drew, they've really taken this season by the scruff of the neck, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. And if fans of the show want to or can remember back to last season, they were the Supporter Shield winners last year, FC Dallas. And with a 1-0 win over the weekend against Sporting Kansas City, and FC Dallas now are the only MLS team without a loss this season. And again, just like they did last year, same formula. They don't have a lot of big-name players, a lot of players that they've either developed through their youth academy, they've scouted in South America, or players that they've been able to pick up from other MLS sides and really turn into high-quality players, such as Maximiliano Urruti. This is a team that is going to do probably about the same as they did last year. They'll be up near the top of the MLS Western Conference table, and they should have no trouble making the playoffs. And again, an exciting team to watch, but, you know, they do lack those names.
We'll get on to transfers, looking at players who might be going both in and out of the league between Europe and there. Shortly, first, just have to mention, because we've kind of turned Minnesota into our pet team and we've reported all the goals that have gone in. Let's be fair now and say that this weekend, very quickly, Drew, defensively, actually it turned out all right for them.
Yeah, Andy, and you know what? This defense is getting better. It's improving. This is their first clean sheet of the season, a 1-0 victory over Colorado Rapids thanks to a goal from Miguel Ibarra. And this is a team that, as we say, they're improving every week. They had they built from scratch, basically, to start the season, an expansion side. They didn't have a long preseason, and you know that first month of the season was kind of a way to get them to gel, and now it's certainly paying off. They did make two moves. Just a couple of weeks ago, they signed Sam Cronin and Mark Birch, two highly experienced MLS players. Cronin, a defensive midfielder, Birch, a left back and a center back. And, you know, those two have already helped them so far in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you could see this team, you know, improving greatly in the next couple of months. And they're only, right now, 1 point off that last playoff spot. Again, it's very early, only 8 games played in the MLS season, but you know, they can only go up, as we've said before.
Yeah, compared to how it was at the beginning of the season, this is significantly better for Minnesota. Looking then at transfers, and there's a player that's being reported as being looked at by Everton. Now, just while I think of them, they brought to the UK one of the first successful American imports that I can remember, which was Brian McBride. He was a player at Columbus back in the 90s and early noughties. Preston, I think, actually loaned him in. Then, it's nearly 15 years ago, he was loaned in to Everton. Everton also the likes of Tim Howard. I'm sure I'm Landon Donovan. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else in my mind. They're now looking again at Major League Soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. Everton has had that history of going after Major League Soccer players. And one right now that they are looking at is Kyle Larin, who is at Orlando City and only 22 years of age. His contract is up at the end of this season. And Larin has been a fantastic striker for Orlando City. He's a Canadian international. He scored 38 goals in 67 games for Orlando City. And you know, there is rumor that if Romelu Lukaku goes back to Chelsea, that Kyle Larin could be his replacement there. And you know, there's a big difference between the two players, but a lot of scouts are saying that Larin has all the tools to be a top-class striker. And you know, it'd be really interesting to see a striker go from Major League Soccer to such a big level. The last one that we really saw was Jozy Altidore, and we know how that ended for him at Hull and at Sunderland. So Larin can make that move and really help put Canadian soccer back on the map if he does end up at Everton. But there's also been talks with him at Celtic as well, so could be a couple different places that he could end up when his contract ends, because I don't really see him leaving Major League Soccer in the summer, especially if Orlando City is continuing to do as well as they are.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned other players who've been a success, the Brian McBrides, Tim Howards. But then for every American who comes over, there's always the potential you might be Jozy Altidore instead.
That's true. You know, there's not a lot of, I guess you'd say Brian McBride, but in recent history, there hasn't been a lot of successful strikers coming over from the U.S. Clint Dempsey and Donovan also, you know, they had success, but they're more of a midfielder, attacking midfielder role rather than an out-and-out number nine.
Two players rumoured, potentially at least, to be going the other way. John Terry fits the mould of a traditional Major League Soccer signing. Big name, old, maybe last big move of their career. However, it would appear that the John Terry thing is not actually picking up much traction in America, at least.
No, it's not. And you would have thought it would have. You kind of hit the nail on the head just a second ago with what you said. But so far, it looks like MLS teams are going to stay away from him. Reports saying that his wage demands are far too high for what Major League Soccer teams want to spend right now. And some rumors I read this morning that there are some English teams interested in him. So it looks like he won't be coming to or going to the other side of the pond.
And just to completely localise American soccer for a second, as a Huddersfield fan, there's John Stead. Now, he's a player that came through the youth system at Huddersfield, went away, had success with Blackburn, Bristol City and so on, came back to Huddersfield, now is at Notts County. But I see this rumour that, or this report at least, that he is 50-50 as to whether or not he'd stay at Notts County in the summer or make a move to the USA. Now, finding actual details on this specific move are quite difficult, though. I don't imagine we're talking Major League Soccer. I imagine that this would be a player, Drew, that would be interesting, the likes of an NASL, but they're not the only lower-level Brit now who's maybe used that as a route to one final big payday.
Yeah, that's right. And this was a rumour that you, or a report that you drew my eyes to. And I've seen, I think, a lot of the same that you've seen. And he was apparently set to go in back in February, but that move was blocked originally by manager Kevin Nolan. And, you know, the lower leagues of U.S. soccer do have some opportunities for British players who are either at the end of their careers, as John Stead is, or players at the starts of their careers to really make something of their life, their soccer life, that is. And it's a great place to go, as we've said before, for, you know, just a different atmosphere, something to, a little bit different, a different lifestyle. And, you know, just going through the NASL's list of players this afternoon, I've had a look at some of the English players over there. And, you know, there's not that many. And I think that's an opportunity that English soccer players who are maybe, you know, finding it hard to break through at, you know, a high level, I think it's a great place for them to go and to try something a little bit different. Players such as Tommy Amiobi, Danny Barrow, Paul Black, all playing right now in the NASL. And, you know, these players went through different youth academies before moving over to the U.S. and finding a new life. And each of them, they're in their early 20s or mid-20s at the moment. So, you know, it is a place that they can go and find some soccer success. And one player that, you know, I always go back to is Sporting Kansas City's Dom Dwyer, who came through the Norwich City Youth Academy. He hit a wall. He couldn't find anywhere else to go, and he went and played in university in the U.S. and was ended up drafted by Sporting Kansas City, and he's having great success there. And something that we actually didn't talk about in recent weeks was Dwyer, who was married to U.S. women's soccer player Sydney LaRue. He was able to get his U.S. citizenship. He's now a naturalized U.S. citizen. So, you know, a lot of things that British soccer players can go and do in the U.S. and a completely different lifestyle to progress their career.
And looking at, as well, at USL, I've just got the Wikipedia page up at the moment. And, I mean, we were talking the other week about the Phoenix Rising. So you've got big names there. So you would imagine, well, there's an opportunity to play and make decent money. But then if you look around, there's FC Cincinnati with a stadium of 35,000. There's Ottawa Fury, 24,000. But also when you look at some of these coaches, there's the likes of Paul Dalglish at that level, there's the likes of Paul Buckle at that level, both of whom have experience over here but are now working over there. So it's a route that is opening up that's not been there before.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, you know, I a lot of times go back to like a lot of the financial things here with this, the financial side. You know, how stable are some of these clubs? We did see some problems with the North American Soccer League last year with some payments being made by clubs and, you know, some clubs, you know, thoughts of the clubs going under. But, you know, as you get down to the USL, it seems like it's a little bit more stable there because of a lot of these teams having connections to Major League Soccer clubs, being affiliates to them. So, you know, this is a route that players could take and, you know, to have a sustainable career. And, again, we go back to U.S. clubs and Canadian clubs, you know, soccer's on the rise. It's becoming a bigger and bigger sport in the in North America, in the U.S. and Canada, that is.
Yeah, no, certainly a very much growing sport, and that's why we look at it each Monday with MLS Monday. If you want to get in touch with myself and Drew, maybe you're actually in America, you've got a team you support, and you want to like flag it up to us and get us talking about them, well, tweet and use the hashtag MLS Monday on there. Myself and Drew will pick it up that way. Drew, though, for this week, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Andy. Always good to be back.